Are you ready? I said, are you ready? You are listening to Voice of the Fans Sportscast, brought to you by none other than the voices of the fans, discussing football, basketball, news, trending topics, the one-stop shop for all things sports. Voice of the Fans Sportscast. Hosted by none other than Ben Swift Reynolds, Taylor Gatwood, 100% RC, Professor Damian Flowers, and Tyler Wright.
Oh, snap. What's up, guys? How in the world did I meet myself? That's crazy. Man, somebody over here pushing buttons, and it's not me. But what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Voice of the Fan Sportscast. I'm your host, Ben Swift Reynolds. We have Professor Flowers 100% RC with us tonight. And Dustin Bishop is running late, so we're going to continue without him. We're going to wait till he come in. What's up, fellas?
All right, man. It's Monday, man. It's Monday.
Get it. Monday.
Top of the week.
Right. Monday.
Go freeze tonight. Go freeze tonight. Y'all make sure y'all get your little drip in your house going.
Weather can't make his mind up, man. It's hot last week. Now it's, I guess the Easter snap done came through. I know I need to go outside and put my covering on one of my hoses outside.
Yeah, probably freezing tonight, man. I got the heat cut off, so now I'm just going to use space heaters in the house, I guess. So let's dive into basketball. We have a segment that called Fast Break, just in case y'all didn't know. All right, the NCAA tournament is tomorrow, am I right?
Pop Star Wednesday, Thursday, don't it?
Thursday, yeah.
Thoughts on the date for, today's Monday, yeah. So it start Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. So, do y'all have any favorites? Flowers? Did you fill out the bracket? That's the question.
No, I haven't filled out a bracket yet. honestly, I haven't filled out a bracket in years. But I might fill out one this year. But I'm gonna be honest with you, I really haven't paid that much attention to the men's college basketball. But from hearing people talking, I know Connecticut probably is a strong favorite. I think teams like Iowa State, Illinois, probably can give them a run in their bracket. If I had to give a sleeper team just off of experience, something like that, I'd probably say somebody like Auburn, somebody like that with Bruce Pearl probably could make a run, Sweet 16 or something like that. Like I said, this is just for me on the outside looking in, but I'm quite sure Connecticut probably has a good chance of winning again this year.
Yeah, man. Auburn. I have a friend who's an Auburn fan. He posted that they clinched whatever their seeding, and he's psyched about it. So, you know, Mr. Pearl, he always going to bring it during the tournament and everything. But, yeah, UConn is top favorites right now when I'm looking at the numbers. And but everybody was saying the women's been more exciting than men's. I guess that's why they been more coverage lately.
Yep.
Especially by ESPN. ESPN been doing a great job, I have to say, by covering the women's basketball. Mm-hmm. More than anything, and like you, I haven't filled out a bracket in years, man. They never work out for me, so I never waste my time. They usually bust in the first round, you know. I never make it far.
The best bracket I probably filled out, I was in high school, and I got about 90% of it right.
Dang, people can't say that. Yeah, Paulie, man, he sent me a message and trying to get us to join the bracket in his league. You know, it was $25 buy-in, but I just didn't put it in time. So it's all good. Shout out to him. RC, you have any favorites in the men's division?
I'm like Flowers. UConn could repeat, but I think North Carolina got a shot. Okay. They look really good. NC State looks good. I've been watching a lot of those teams. I know my team didn't even make it. My team was horrible this year, Michigan. But I want to see a new person, a new team, new blood. So new blood being could be old blood. It could be North Carolina. It could be Duke. I mean, I think it's a wide open field with what was happening with the one and done stuff. So the more veteran led teams are going to be in the fight. I could see Florida Atlantic. I could see if they're in the field. I think they made it back. New Mexico, teams like that, Iowa State.
Yeah, Iowa State's real good. They thumped Houston the other day. Oh, Wisconsin, Kentucky.
Wisconsin. Purdue. So we're going to see how competitive the men division is this year. What about the women's flowers?
I think they put LSU and Iowa on a collision course. I'd rather have been USC in the bracket instead of LSU. I'd rather have seen Juju against Kalen. You know, you want to see some stuff in the Elite Eight, Final Four. I think they're so busy trying to create matchups that you're probably going to get that LSU and Iowa or something like that. South Carolina, of course, I'm picking South Carolina to win it. I am curious to see if Kalen and company can make it to the Final Four. I want to see what Juju and company do at USC. I want to see what LSU does. I mean, I'm curious to see how this, you know, how the women play out.
Yes, indeed, because they was talking about one of the coaches. He made a statement. He said, let's send Caitlin Clark packing. So he already got in his mind, like, man, let's go and take it to these girls, man. That's what we like to see. No, buddy. Let's see very competitive, top-notch game here. All right, see, who you like in the women's division?
Very, very deep SEC field, Tennessee, Ole Miss, LSU, South Carolina. Then you got out west, Utah with Peel. I think it's Peel is her name.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Caitlin, you got UConn. But UConn need to be up on upset alert. Jackson State girls are primed to make a run.
I agree.
They're really good, and UConn is really banged up, and I think we got an upset. Upset brewing, like my boy said on life, I got an ass whooping brewing up my sleeve, Ray. I'm telling you right now, I think they can do it. And then I'm pulling for Kalen. You know, I want South Carolina, LSU, or Iowa to win, but I want to see Kalen go out with a championship. I think, to me personally, it's good for the game. She's good for the game. LSU's good for the game. It's good to see the underdog. She's gonna be the underdog. She don't have the help. If she can pull it off, it'll be amazing. But I'm excited about watching the girls play.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I just looked it up. I think the tournament starts tomorrow. That's what Google said anyway. So, yeah, you know, man. We're going to see.
As you know, they had a play-in, so that might be what it is.
Tuesday. I think it's Wednesday or Tuesday. One of those days, it's a play-in. It's one more game. It's like the last team or something like that.
When they started doing the play-in, I don't remember doing the play-in last year.
It's like the first four in, something like that. It's called first something. It's called something.
You know, like two teams play to be the 16 seed just to get put out on Thursday.
Well, speaking of getting put out, you know, the NBA is heating up. Everybody feeling pressure right now. So, NBA, they put out the Western Conference standings. With OKC number one, Nuggets number two, Timberwolves number three, Clippers number four, Pelicans number five, Kings number six. And right now in the play-in tournament is Dallas at seven, Suns is eight, Golden State at nine, Lakers at 10. So Flowers in that four teams right there in the play-in. The Rockets, they right behind the Lakers. They four games back right now at 32 and 35. Lakers are 36 and 32.
Right. The Rockets probably won't catch the Lakers. I wouldn't think they would unless something just catastrophically happened. But you want to talk about the play-in or the first six seeds?
Yeah, let's talk about the play-in with those four teams. Which one do you think will earn themselves a spot?
I mean, just looking at the spots right now, Dallas, to me, is probably the most dangerous one. It will be probably Dallas against the Lakers. Man, Dallas plays the Lakers pretty well, man. Like, they can't afford to I mean, because that would be a one and done game from. Well, no, no, no. How do they do it?
I thought they lost.
It's the 7 and the 8. Excuse me. Yeah, it's the 7 mm-hmm. and the 8 go against each other. Excuse me. So, well, Dallas and who's the AC?
Phoenix. Don't the loser have to play another game?
The 7 and the 8 seed. Yeah, the winner gets the 7 seed, and the AC gets to play the other game. Mm-hmm. Dallas would beat Phoenix in that matchup. I think Luka and company have always just had Phoenix number. Phoenix to me, even with Durant, Booker, and Beal, really isn't a true leader on the team, and it's showing. Booker and Durant, they just want to ball. Like, who can you say is leading that team? I think, like, all three of them together are, like, 15 and 11. So, that's how I love Kevin Durant, love Booker, love the games. They're the same player, in a sense. You see when Booker had Chris Paul, somebody that was a leader, where it went. You know, I'm not saying KD's a bad guy, nothing like that, but we just can't sit up here and depend on sole talent. And, you know, that's what we got to give LeBron James credit, because – he's been a leader 21 years he's played. You know, you have to give him that credit. But Lakers and Golden State, I don't think Golden State will beat the Lakers. This is my opinion. I just think LeBron and AD will be too much. I just think they're too young and the size will come into advantage unless Curry just busts them for 50 and, you know, you got to, you know, if you hear them there from somebody else, I just don't see it.
What do you think, RC, about that Dallas and 7, Suns at 8, Golden State at 9, Lakers at 10?
It's really don't give a damn, because I think the NBA is cheating the fan base by having that even a consideration. Like, the whole play-in tournament to me is
crap. Like,
you got to think about the Lakers haven't played good basketball all season, and they at the very bottom and can possibly make a run from that spot to the finals. I don't think they will. Golden State on life support. Phoenix never really played together. Dallas, I can't really figure out what their issues are. But I think it's a consolation prize. It's like giving them all this opportunity to make the playoffs. But if I had to choose who would get the 7 and the 8 spot, to me, it'll be Dallas and Golden State. I don't want to see the Lakers in the playoffs, because I feel like as a fan of the Lakers, this is not the route we take. Like, dude, we're in a 10th spot. Like, I don't want to see you in the playoffs and then get in the playoffs and get embarrassed, or get in the playoffs and make this run. You notice LeBron the last few years has been the same thing, you know, this false hope and this false narrative. Like, bro, this is it. And there's nothing wrong with starting over and rebuilding. He can go play somewhere else and enjoy his life, and we can get ours back. But, you know, I'm pulling for Kyrie. I'm pulling for Luka, because Luka may win the MVP and might not make the playoffs.
You know, that's weird. That's
just a problem for me, NBA. And one quick note. I sent the video out to a few of my partners showing, well, LeBron don't help on help side defense. He kind of just stepped in and looked away. My issue with this basketball is, are you just waiting to now? Like, if they all of a sudden turn it on and they make a run, mm-hmm. I got an issue, because you're saying, I know I'm at least getting 9 of 10. I'm at least get a shot to make the playoffs, and when we have to play, we will.
Yep.
That's stupid. Right. That's a standard for kids we trying to get away from. We want that switch turned on all the time. So
remember this.
LeBron State of Dallas.
He didn't like it at first, the play in, until it started benefiting them.
Right. That's him.
He saw the overall big picture. He's like, okay, I can see how this will work. Yeah, that's my problem. Is I don't feel like we should give losers a chance to do anything. If he's been stuck in this whole year, and you shouldn't be awarded a chance to get into the playoffs. Like, no.
And then it's not, you know, I'm quite sure when the league, you know, thought of this idea, end quote, they probably thought that would be for the younger teams to battle it out. Hell, look who's been there for the past 3 years.
Right.
I'm talking about the team with three guys on their team who are veterans, who have a lot of playoff experience, championship experience, and you're at the bottom. You're 10th. So Man, imagine if the NFL did this dumb shit. Like, okay, Arizona Cardinals, you beat Philadelphia at the end. We're going to put you in the play-in tournament to see if you get in. Oh, man, quick.
All right, the Saints. Put the Saints, you know, they're like, oh, you know, they got a young spark on that team. They might can upset somebody. Right, they're going to slide them in.
The Saints, the Raiders, the Cardinals, those teams like that, you know.
Yeah.
What's the point of having it? See, only organizations or sports leagues that's got to do that is the one that control their draft. And they control their draft. You can't do that in the NFL because you reward the team that had the worst season.
Right.
NBA, not so much. They put them players where they want them to go.
Like I called it last year, I called this a gimmick, and that's what it is. Just get more eyes on the game, try to get some excitement brewing. Like, oh, the play-in tournament. You know, they showed Curry clapping like, yeah, he all excited about the play-in tournament.
Basically, you got three tournaments. In-season tournament, play-in tournament, real tournament. Come on, Cub. Come on,
too
man.
Many tournaments. Too many tournaments for a league that generates that much money. Come on,
man.
Put the best player on the field. Let's keep it moving. Stop with all the antics, man.
I agree.
All right. So in the East, Celtics are number one, Bucks are number two, Cleveland number three, Knicks are number four, Magic's are number five, Indiana's number six, Miami is seventh, Sixers are eighth, Bulls are ninth, Hawks are tenth, and the Nets are four games back of the Hawks right now.
I ain't catching them.
Yep. So out of that four group, RC, Heat, 76ers, Bulls, and Hawks.
That's another situation. The Heat would be my team making it back to the finals again because they just lay it in weeds and the Heat culture takes over and they make this amazing run. So they would get 7 seed or the 8 seed. Then the Bulls and the Sixers play each other.
Does Heat and the 76ers, 7 and 8.
So
and the Bulls and Hawks play.
So I'm going Bulls in the Heat. But that's another thing. Like on the East side, I'm not as bothered by it because they don't have perennial all-stars. Like, you know, they don't have legacy guys. You know, Jimmy Butler is a good basketball player, but he's not Dwayne Wade. Bam is not AD. There is no Steph Curry on that side. Trey impersonates him, but he's not Trey. He's not Steph. You know, there is no Kevin Durant on Chicago Bulls. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's no Luka. There's no MVP candidate at the very bottom. So the East is kind of working out. But whoever comes up out of that, you know, get those last two spots. I can see Miami making a run, but the other one was dead on arrival because they don't match up. And then I really like what I'm seeing out of Boston, Milwaukee. You know, hell, even Orlando. I like what I see out of Orlando as well. So.
Why do it seem like the East have more blue collar guys? Like they grind it out with you.
That's traditionally
the East. Yeah, man. They just don't have, you know, like I said, the star power, but they have them guys that they grind it. They come play every night.
Answer your own.
Say Klaus.
Like, the East Coast and the South, that's nothing but a bunch of blue collar places. Out West is nothing but.
Right on. So who do you have in that four little team playing? If those four teams make it.
Same as RC, man. Like the Heat, the culture, everything about the Heat is real. Like they're just waiting in the weeds. And injuries are playing a big part right now, you know, going on in the East. Miami, I wouldn't be surprised they made a run. I'm thinking the Knicks, if they can get healthy, I think the Knicks probably can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, depending on who they have to play in the second round. I think the Knicks can play with anybody. Honestly, they got a great roster. Curious to see what Dame and Giannis do during playoff time. I just think they probably need to hand the keys off to Dame. I think Giannis just needs to play off the ball and stop trying to be a primary ball handler, because when you put it in Damian Lillard's hands, I think you unlock him more. There's the potential of him doing more. Like I think he had like 31-16. Giannis was on the bench when they beat the Suns yesterday.
Yeah, him and Bobby Portis combined for like 65 or something.
I'm saying 16 assists, 30 points. That just is evidence that, man, just put the ball in Dame's hands and Giannis needs to play a little more off of him. I'm quite sure they'll do that in the playoffs. I do like this young Magic team. They're long, they're big. They're just young, need some experience, great coach, well coached, man. Bankero, the Wagner Twins. They got a lot of size, a lot of athleticism. I think that'd be a pretty good team to play in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be an easy win. Playing wise, man, Chicago has a lot of potential, but I just don't think they know how to use it. I like the young kid, Kobe White. DeRozan, love him being a ball handler. I think they're better without LaVine. That's my opinion. They got a lot of young kids, a lot of young, hungry kids and bigs. So they got a variety of both. They can be a matchup nightmare depending if they put their lunch hats on and come to play. Boston, I'll say this and wrap it up. I like Boston. I understand what Boston's doing. But I just don't know if a team that's that size with that kind of athleticism, will they win an NBA Finals, man, just dependent on the jump shot? That I feel like just got to be more aggressive. They can't keep just shoot. They can't shoot 40, 50 threes a game. I understand Mazzulla, and that's his system. That's what he wants to do. But, look, Jason Tatum doesn't need to be selling for 22, 23-foot jump shots. You know, every time he turns the corner, he needs to be a little more aggressive and, you know, get to the hole, distribute. That's when he can average, you know, 28, 8, and 8. Jason can be that kind of player if he wants to. I just think he wants to be more of a scorer. And I said he'll just take a back seat, and this depends on how the game going. But man, look, they got some bucket getters. I expect them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, but don't be shocked if they don't make the finals.
Well, if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, make the finals, what you do with the team? I mean, they've been underachieving for how many years now?
I mean, if Doku is still there, I think they won the championship.
I'm going to tell you who they are. Here's a great comparison. They are the San Francisco 49ers of the NBA. Mm-hmm. They got everything you need to win. They got all the hype, all the hoopla. They got the stars. And they keep getting to this spot and getting stuck. It's like, what else do you need? Like, it's kind of like, that's the perfect example. They are the San Francisco 49ers of the NBA. That's that version of just, there's nothing more you need to do to this team. Now, even though they shoot a lot of threes, the issue with the NBA today, and this is what I would do with Dame, is I would force Giannis to play on the block and say, hey, listen, with this guy being a point, he's a true point. Even though he shoot a lot of shots, you go down there and be a back-to-the-basket presence. Then we'll get back to true basketball because they're giving us that. That's what's wrong with the NBA. The three big three, the big two, it don't work unless somebody is an all defender all time. Like if Pippen and Jordan work because Mike going to take the volume of the shots. Pippen's going to do all the other. It has to be defined roles for it to work. When I watch Boston, Tatum is taking a lot of threes. My guy, Jaylen Brown, want to prove to the world he can shoot a lot of threes. Porzingis shooting a lot of threes. Who the dog? You know, you got Al Horford, he's
the old dog.
Yeah, but you needed a guy on the block that's gonna get down there. Tatum would be great going down there with his back to the basket, fading away or jump hooking or up and under. It's just this championship gonna be won the way Denver won it last year. Mm-hmm. We can play from the perimeter, but we're gonna start here on the block. And so that's my thing, man. That's what's wrong. It's like people are afraid to get back to how basketball used to be, but it's really efficient.
Yeah, it really is. Them three pointers, man, they're not efficient as people think they are. They're only efficient when you make them. If you go cold, that's the Rockets.
Yep.
Yeah, it's gonna be the nail in the coffin for you. So you gotta get them easy buckets, man. You gotta take to the hole.
One more thing.
What's up?
I just want to say, you bring up talking about threes. This is what I don't understand about analytics and three point shot. The pace that they play nowadays, it shouldn't matter if they're taking threes or twos. Just get a damn bucket. At the pace they're playing, they're going to put up 100-plus points regardless if you're taking the threes or not, just because of the pace itself. As long as you're just putting the ball in the hole, I think the game will be just fine. I just think analytics and, like I said, Harden and Steph Curry and company, those only a certain amount of few guys that could do what they did at that time. You know, and the NBA just tried to replicate it, and it's slowly getting back. But people just got to understand, just get a bucket. You know, if the three is there, it's there. But there's nothing wrong with getting it on the block, you know, top of the key, pick and roll, whatever you want to do. I just don't think you need to just settle shooting 40-50 threes a game.
Yep, your high percentage shot is in the middle of the paint. the thing is too, though, how the NBA is calling the game, you can live at the free throw line. I don't know why guys don't take advantage of that.
So the problem with American born players, we're not trendy, we're not trendsetters, we're followers. So the European players are playing comfortably in their system in the way they play. We're following that. We're not naturally just – it takes a lot of energy to shoot threes.
Yes, it does.
That's a longer shot. Then you're always in transition. When you play in the half court or you're playing downhill, you know, you're giving your guys a chance to get back on defense. It's just simplistic. We're just followers, man. We need right. – Anthony Edwards looks so great in the league right now. I love him, but the reason why his game is so – looks so good, and so he has the mid-range. It gets downhill to the basket. There's no rim protection. Like, that's why LeBron's able to continue to play. There's nothing, there's no resistance on defense. So, yeah. Man, I feel like, too, that's the thing, Boston. That's what we're going to call the Boston championship when they play Denver. Can you defend the big guy?
Mm-hmm. And one more point about three-point shot. A lot of people don't understand. When my coach taught us, oh, that's Dustin. We didn't jack a lot of threes, you know what I'm saying? Because if you miss those 3-point shots, they lead to easy transitions on the other side of the ball. So you on the other side of the court. So you better make your shots. Cause now it's gonna lead to fast breaks. You try to get back on defense. Next you know, that's where cherry picking come in. You know, we saw guys cherry pick all the time. So if you taking on 3-point shots, you better make them. You better make the other team pay. What's up, Dustin?
What's up, y'all?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
So,
what y'all on?
We talking about NBA, the playing with the 4 teams in the playing tournament right now. I can go ahead and let you answer the question. Okay. Who do you have coming out of the East in the playing tournament? Right now, it's the Heat, 76ers, Bulls, and Hawks.
Heat, 76ers, Bulls, and Hawks. 76ers.
Really?
Since Joel, Embiid going to be back for the playoffs. Right?
How good he going to be? He's going to be in shape, or he going to be ready to roll?
I don't think coming back.
I wouldn't. If he's my
questionable, player. But I give him a better – I mean, the Heat always a wild card, but, mm-hmm. I mean, they have
– Oh, you're breaking up. Let me see, can I pull him back? Hey, you breaking up?
Now you hear me? I say I still go with the 76ers.
Okay. Yeah, well, the Heat, you said the 76ers. Well, you know, they ain't playing RA basketball without Embiid right now. Massey, you know, he's been putting up his shots. You know, he started off kind of in the middle of the field, but now he's, you know, getting hot. But I'm not a bit believing in the 76ers, especially without Embiid. Who you coming out? Who do you have coming out the West? Dallas, Suns, Golden State, or Lakers?
West a little bit tougher, but I mean, I just because man, Kyrie and Luka been balling, I'm gonna go with Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, RC, did you say Dallas too?
Yeah, Jesus Dallas advice. And Golden State will be my 7 and 8.
There you go. Dustin, you came in on tail end, man. You must have was trying to save patients' lives or something.
Yeah, man. I gotta make sure I know how to do it.
When you graduate? What?
In 26.
I'll be here for you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially our time in flying. So, Dustin, I have a little treat for you before we move on from NBA, man. Thank you for coming in, though. did y'all know Wemby has a younger brother?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody says another one of them. Another one of them things.
I don't know. He's like 6'8", I think.
Oh.
Is he down growing? Is that the question? That's
right.
The question.
I don't know how old he's
not down growing.
I hope so.
I think he's like 16.
Yeah, he's like 16. 6'8".
I'll be done growing, man. Just watching a player too tall to play basketball annoys the shit out of me. Like, Wimby so talented, it aggravates me watching him, man. Like, I was like, if he was 6'6", he'll be better than Kobe Bryant. Like, he has all the ability in the world. But I can't focus on him playing basketball without looking at him like, God, dog, he look like Stretch Armstrong for real. Like, it looks like I'm watching a real unicorn giraffe play basketball, man. It's unbelievable, man. He's good.
What 7-footer in the history of the NBA to nutmeg somebody? Like,
this dude can pound the ball. That's the thing. Like,
you know what, though? The true thing I watch the Spurs for is just to watch how many of the Spurs players pass him up. I understand them kids trying to get paid and get their bread. But they miss him on so many obvious open attempts. Like, just get him the ball. But like I said, I understand that, you know, young fellas trying to get paid. But it can't be that obvious.
They know they are everybody on the trading block.
they're playing for contracts.
Everybody on the trading block, because especially.
Vassell.
Trae Young said, you know, he loved to play with Wimby.
That'd be something nice too. If they get Trae Young to set him up pick and roll style and everything, oh my goodness.
So one of my friends, he said the reason why he don't want to come on the show or be part of the cast because we like to argue. Apparently, he don't like to argue. I don't think it's arguing, it's more debating. So I got a debate for y'all. Tim Duncan came out and said this. He said, he talking about Jokic. He said, I played him after I was me and before he was him, and I did okay. So, Dustin, that's your boy Tim Duncan, Timmy. He said he pretty sure they can handle Jokic. They having no problem. So, who win that matchup head-to-head?
I couldn't say who would win. I'd say the Spurs would win the game. That's what I'd say.
Oh, come on. One-on-one. Just like Kobe and anybody else that play one on one, who will win between Jokic and Tim?
I ain't gonna lie, that's a hard one because I got mad respect for Jokic, but I mean, Timmy, I mean, he was no slouch on defense. Okay, with the early 2000s rules, I'm going Timmy all the way.
Prime Timmy versus Prime Dunk, Jokic. I'm going Tim.
Like, you going Tim Duncan on this?
Easy. I'm not living in the moment. I'm going with the big fundamental. Like, why would I live in the moment?
You saying easy? Like it's a no brainer.
He gave Shaq. He gives Shaq.
Bruh.
I mean, Shaq had to back and forth, man. And Shaq couldn't do nothing with him.
He couldn't guard that man.
If it weren't for that lucky ass Derek Fisher shot,
oh, man.
That corner three.
Look, dude, I'm gonna tell you.
Was it 0.4 seconds, man?
0.4 seconds.
Man, Tim had one more championship.
You got that type of big. These guys, Jokic look great now because there is no resistance. There is no other big that can stop him. So, but if you put him in that era with Rasheed Wallace every night, Ben Wallace every night, Kevin Garnett every night, Tim Duncan every night, Shaq. I mean, Amari Stoudemire would be a problem for him because athletically, he got to guard them too. And Kenyon Martin would have gave him fits. I'm just telling you right now, dog, this basketball now is resistance-free, bro. It's like thin pieces of toilet paper, dog. Stick your finger right through it.
Flowers, who you have? You said Timmy?
Timmy, man, this is easy money, and that's no disrespect to Jokic, but
wow,
bro, yeah, are you understanding who and what Tim Duncan played against to what Jokic
yes.
against? Like Tim Duncan played against Shaq, damn near probably 100+ times. Yep. Like, who is more physical than that? I mean, who? Tell me somebody physical Jokic played against. Like Dwight Howard.
I think probably closer probably be Embiid.
He got a little taste of Olajuwon, a little taste of Yuan and Morning and Kim Bay Matumbo. He come in, bro. That dude different, man.
Yeah. It'd be a good matchup though.
I think Jokic would probably it wouldn't be close, but I think Jokic would get him. I like Tim Duncan too, though.
Hold on, get him.
I like Tim Duncan because of all the post moves and like I said, his defense, the bank shot was unstoppable. I mean,
do you remember Timmy playing on that one lane for the last part of
his
career? You remember
that? Yeah. I just don't think Jokic is that couldn't handle a prime team because he was very athletic too.
That man at the end of his career beat the all-time great Miami Heat. I'm talking about, and you know, when he promised that they were gonna win a championship, like, you know, we'll be back and we're gonna win it. He was sitting on that podium with his mindset, like, we'll be back, we're gonna win, and he delivered. So you're talking about they got everybody on their team, and he out there playing with Thiago Splitter. You remember that? Remember that name? Yeah. Yeah. He out there playing with Chris Bosh couldn't do nothing with Tim Duncan on one leg. So,
you know, we haven't did a player poll in a long time. So, Tim Duncan, thank you for giving us that little nuggets there so we can put up on our page to see what everybody votes for. We already know how some teams go on VOL Sportscast IG page. We think it'll go one way, then it just goes south. So I'm very curious what the younger generation is going to vote on. Shout out to
Tim Duncan, man. He couldn't answer that question no better. that was such a smooth, humble flex. Like,
without saying, you know. He said a lot without saying much, like he usually do. He said a lot without saying much.
That was probably the most truthful, the honest answer I ever heard an NBA player answer a question.
Mm-hmm. Right on. All right, Dustin, man. Maybe you can get in a little early, you know, so when you don't have tests going on and everything. Mr. IQ, I hope you pass that mug. But, yeah, thank you for joining us, man. We about to move on to some NFL stuff, man.
All right.
Peace. Catch you later, bro. Thank you.
All right, man. Y'all take it easy.
Peace. Saving lives is important.
Right. That man out here doing the hard job being a doctor, man. I can imagine. You know, I had a little taste of biology and A&P and everything. I ain't go far like him. I said, I ain't doing all that. But you know, just Justin Field news almost broke the internet. Everybody was just like, what? That's crazy. We had fans being mad at their teams for not getting Justin Field for a sixth round pick. Right? Ain't no Saints fans wanted Justin Fields. And they were upset because we didn't go get him. Flowers, man. Steelers, they acquired Justin Fields. What did you think about that move?
It's a good move by the Steelers. Let's say locked up Russ for a year. They're paying him, you know, pennies on the dollar. You get Justin Fields for a year. It's a rental. If Russell Wilson doesn't work, doesn't pan out, you can just slide that guy in and see what he does. From my understanding, I think Justin Fields maneuvered the trade to Pittsburgh. I thought seven teams that wanted him. So I guess Chicago did him a solid. You know, that gives, you know, them good eyesight, you know, as far as with players, because they can go there and see that the organization is for the players, because they, you know, listen to Justin Fields' trade demands and sent them where he wanted to go. So that's a plus for him. But maybe it turns into a quarterback battle. Who knows? I'm quite sure Russell Wilson didn't go to Pittsburgh just to, you know, ride the bench. They promised him some stuff. So I'm more than willing to bet Russell Wilson starts the season off. I'm quite sure Fields will make plays in training camp. The younger kids probably don't want, you know, Justin to be the one, but Russell be the one to take the helm. But don't let Russell Wilson lose two or three in a row. I'm quite sure Justin Fields will be thrown in the fire pretty quick.
Yes, I was thinking that, like, man, they might go with Justin Fields, depending on where they're at in the seedings, in the standings and everything. And it all depends on how Russell Wilson plays. But if he start off slow or start off winning here, losing here, then Justin Fields might come in, slide in, take over. So I know Russell Wilson, when he signed a contract, and then what, a couple of days later, he's like, what? Oh, what? Justin Fields. So RC, he's sitting here like, nah.
He wasn't shocked, dog.
You don't think he wasn't surprised by that?
I'm gonna tell you why. After a few days thinking about this, think about the 2021 draft class, quarterback draft class. Everybody's a backup now, besides Trevor Lawrence. Okay, so listen, Matt Carroll, who didn't go in that draft. Carroll went in the
Corral.
Third. He went with Purdy. Yeah. Okay, but my original point is all of them are backups. And this smells like Dwayne Haskins going to back up Ben Roethlisberger. They bring in Washington drafts Haskins to be the savior of the organization. It doesn't work out. You know, he plays okay, then he don't look as well. Then he gets his Ohio State quarterback, gets shipped off to Pittsburgh, and he's being developed behind Mason Rudolph and Ben Roethlisberger, and he's getting better. There's something alarming about Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. They're not ready. They all went to really tough situations, including Trey Lance. Even though it was more favorable, he still had to learn a tough offense while not having played football a lot at North Dakota. And then Justin Fields is the prototypical Ohio State quarterback coming into the league. If they're not pocket passers, and they use their ability and they allow to escape and play that style, they look different than C.J. Stroud, who's a pocket passer, who got, you know, great accuracy, really smart kid, you know, just got a great upside. I've got to see him in year two to see if he can keep it up. But Justin Fields reminds me of freaking Jalen Hurt in Philadelphia. I think Jalen Hurt would be in the same boat if he don't get drafted to that team. Mm-hmm. If he ends up in Tennessee, he's probably out the league. If he ends up in New York, he's probably in the same boat. I don't care how great of a leader he is, you got to have coaching and great skill players around you. So Pittsburgh is an ideal situation for him. Russ going to be a great teammate. He's willing to pass that torch. They play a similar style game. They're similar, you know, pretty much the same height. Who better to learn from a guy that's willing to teach you? I think this is going to be a perfect thing. Pittsburgh, salute to them. Mike Tomlin, listen. Hey, dude, I give you a hard time by half-assing through your career. Even though you're a great coach, I feel like the Steelers fans deserve more. This was, like I said on the VOS post, y'all went couponing and came back with two starting quarterbacks. But they're going to be fine, man. I think it's going to work. And regardless of what happened with Russ, he'll be ready for that transition over. I think Russ probably going to be done with football here soon.
I think so. Because they're bringing Justin Fields to be the future of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it's up to Justin Fields to continue to prove himself and to learn and get acclimated with the offense so he can execute it right. So he won't be confused when, you know, they ask him to do certain things. And I know they're going to play through his strengths. I know I forgot who was complaining about this. Was it his name escaped me, but he was mad at the Bears for not playing to Justin Fields' strengths.
DJ Moore.
No, it was somebody on ESPN. That black guy. Williams. I forgot his name. Yeah, Damian Williams was very upset. I agree, but I also disagree at the same time. Some coaches, they just don't know how to coach certain players. You know, they have a system.
I don't think that's what it is, man. I'm gonna tell you what the problem with. I don't think they don't know how to coach certain players. College football has done a really poor job of developing quarterbacks to come into the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like the ones that's been in college football and they have all that experience, like Brock Purdy. I'm not shocked by it. Once I got a chance to look at his backstory and everything he's done, he's played so much football. Like I wouldn't be shocked to see Penix Jr. come in and ball out, or Bo Nix or Caleb Williams. Like I'm not really high on Caleb Williams, but it's like Baker Mayfield. They play so much football in college, but they wouldn't ask to do a lot. It's simplicity. It's really simple schemes. Like Deion's son probably be really prepared because he's been trained by Tom Brady. He's learning all these different things. It's more than just running around and waiting for a play to break down. But I think for Justin Fields, what I want to see is you got to play from the pocket first. Like even though people give Mahomes a hard time and they say, well, you know, once it break down, but still he's in the pocket first and then he goes to work from there. But I think it's college football, and I think quarterbacks aren't as good as advertised.
Yeah, they do hide a lot of flaws. But all I'm saying, too, is, like, some coaches, they more tuned to pocket passes. Like, they might get a running type quarterback. They might have a couple plays for him, but they just truly don't know how to coach him. Let's say somebody that run it.
Why draft him?
Well, that wasn't Eberflus.
Wait. See, this is what we let people off. This is why I'm cutting you off. Matt Eberflus took that job knowing Justin Fields was there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So why not hire an offensive coordinator that fits what Justin Fields can do? I know Greg Roman was in Baltimore, but hell, that'd been somebody you probably could have brought over to help Justin Fields. Even though we gave him, you know, stuff with Lamar, we just felt like it was time for Lamar to have something else involved. But we've seen Justin Fields when he was in high school. He was in Georgia for about that much, and he went to Ohio State. From then to there, he has been the same athlete. Yep. Not quarterback, athlete. He's still learning how to play quarterback, and this league is just too fast to, you know. And honestly, if you ask me, Justin Fields honestly been given a pass because people have been so patient with him because they see the talent, and so they'll you know, continue to say, well, let's wait. You know, this league is just – it's becoming the norm. You know, 2-3 years, they're ready to get you up out of there. You know, they want something else.
Right.
Probably after 2 years. So Justin Fields has been blessed, in my opinion, to – you know, it's his fifth year and – or fourth or fifth year, and they're saying, well, let's still see. We see something, but he just needs more time. Time is of the essence, as they say. So just feel you've been granted time, man. You got to deliver, you know, because everybody's not going to get the same opportunity that you're getting.
Yes, look at Zach Wilson. Look at his time.
But let's be real, though. I'm watching freaking Sam Darnold get a start. I mean, I guess he's going to start if they don't draft the quarterback. Ooh. Sam Darnold, they give them – certain guys every opportunity to succeed. Every opportunity. Sam Darnold's possibly gonna start for the Minnesota Vikings.
He will.
I doubt that. Okay, I don't know.
Then somebody will come in. They're gonna draft somebody. Sam Darnold's gonna start, and then they'll bring in the rookie.
That's possibility. Sam Howell may start for Seattle. You got Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get another job. He got another job in Los Angeles to back up Matthew Stafford. Zach Wilson is going to get another opportunity. Better hope he don't end up in a San Francisco or New Orleans with that offense. Like, because I believe that those, you know, like maybe Green Bay, somewhere like that, and be a backup where he can learn that West Coast offense. I think he's better in the West Coast. And, like, I have a Titan fan that watches the show and loves to talk crap. But I don't take the crap serious because that's another situation. You got Will Levis, where I saw Ryan Tannehill come out and say he's willing to help Will Levis any way he possibly can help him. But when Malik Willis got drafted, he said, it ain't my job to help him. So it's like a lot of these situations look very, very weird to me. And I feel some way because Justin Fields is no different. There's no quarterback in the league now outside of maybe Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff, who is truly strictly from the pocket. So they all look alike and they played a similar style. What Justin Fields' problem is too, not only did he's not playing the game, but they need to go out and get skilled players who complement you as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't go get me this Mooney kid that keep bouncing around from team to team just because he played in Kansas City or wherever the hell he played at. We see how that go with that guy over there. That guy can play with me, you, and Flowers and go win a Super Bowl. Just line up right. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, I feel like, too, go draft better and bring talent around.
The funny thing, though, see, now that he's gone, hell, they want to upgrade the team.
That's crazy. Bring Keenan Allen. Yep, they bring in Keenan Allen. So that's crazy. That's
crazy.
So RG3 came out and said this. He said, Caleb Williams to pull Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. RC, a lot of people are high on Caleb Williams, so some people are down on him.
So after
the Bears take Caleb Williams.
So after I've been on my Steve Smith and really watching film and really watching YouTube, not film, YouTube, because I want to really get on here and really speak not from a biased perspective and like, okay, who is Caleb Williams? Dude, y'all, I keep seeing Baker Mayfield. Good Baker, bad Baker. That's what we remind me of. It's that Cliff Kingsbury. It's that Texas Tech. It's that Oklahoma. It's that Lincoln Riley quarterback. If they have a good side, bad Kyler, good Kyler, bad Baker, good Baker, bad Jalen, good Jalen. They all cut from the same cloth. So I think with Caleb, I would probably take, I'm just being honest, man. I don't think he's a sure thing. I really don't. I'm really not just really sold on it. I really feel like he kind of setting himself up for a really bad start to the league because of the way he carried himself. It's kind of making me feel like he's whoever's in his ear is like on this whole player movement thing. You're going to dictate everything, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, you have not earned anything. You have not done anything. Not even in college. You didn't accomplish much. But I'm falling back off of Caleb Williams because I just feel like, to me, I'm watching the tape and looking at it, man, I feel like I've seen this before. And it's not something that I haven't seen, and I wouldn't pick him number one. Because I think Jalen Daniels might be better than him, guys. I really do. Jalen, he can play.
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying. It wasn't about if Caleb Williams, if he didn't have the attributes or he didn't have talent. It's just the way that he carried himself sometimes that threw up a red flag for me. I was just like, I don't know. He has the talent, but can he overcome, you know, the obstacles? Because you always talk about, you know, his mental state and everything like that. So I wonder, you know, will he be able to do the job? And especially in Chicago when they haven't had a good quarterback since, what, Jay Cutler maybe? Yep. Somewhere, I don't know, somewhere Rex right Grossman. There. Well, you could say Rex Grossman because he took him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it was just something about Caleb Williams, how he carried himself and how he went on about certain things. Sometimes, you know, like you said, you shouldn't just say anything that comes to your mind, you know. Hold some of that stuff in. Don't talk to me about that because they will use it against you. But he has the talent, but can the Bears afford to pass on him? I say no. I mean, they had an opportunity to get Patrick Mahomes. They failed at that with Mr. Trubisky. So what you going to do now? Pass on Caleb Williams and you turn out to be a star? And
can't
you back to where you – no?
Can't pass on him now because
– yeah, you can't – yeah. You have no quarterback. And you can't pass. You just can't. You just got to stick with him and say, all right, we're going to take care of Williams and try to do the best we can. But we are forming that bag with Mitch. We can't form that bag again.
If I was Chicago, I would have took the sure thing and Russell. This is me. I would have took Russell Wilson. I would have traded Justin Fields for whatever you want to give me back. But I'd have took Russell Wilson and drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. I'd have moved down and picked Marvin Harrison Jr. Let Washington go up and get the quarterback. And just took
the that, yeah.
I don't care about Keenan Allen. He's aging.
That's smart.
Keenan Allen's aging. He's injury prone. I want me a young receiver that's going to be with Russ because I'm trying to win. Then I move down and get a quarterback. Go down. Maybe Bo Nix fall down. You know, get me
Michael extra Penix. That could have been Michael Penix later on in the draft for Bo Nix. Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with taking Russell.
McCarthy, somebody like that.
Let Russell play for 1 or 2 years. Take a quarterback in the later first round. Perfect. Why the Bears? Yeah, that's a good one, RC. Maybe you should call the Bears to get a job with them. Fouls, man. I know you've been waiting over there patiently.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm just chilling.
Your thoughts with Caleb Williams, RG3 saying, just Caleb Williams should just skip on the Bears, just sit out. But do the Bears need to take Caleb right here, right now?
First and foremost, I think RG3 is wrong as far as thinking Caleb Williams has this much pull, you know, trying to make him just stand out, you know, like the painting on the far end of the wall. I don't think Caleb Williams is that. I don't think he's just this transcendent generational talent. I think he's great. I just don't think that, you know, he's just this. We have to pick him at one because, you know, we talked about Jalen Daniels a few weeks ago, and, you know, we were saying, you know, we like that kid. I like the kid, you know, his story and how he came up and about. Excuse me. You know, even though him and Caleb had similar far stories, as far as starting somewhere, transferring, you know, winning Heisman, such and such, I think y'all are right far as with Caleb Williams letting whatever it is or whoever getting in his ear and, you know, letting his ego show his senior year because he didn't back it up. And that's probably the worst thing that happened to him because that's when the criticism began. The worst thing that could have happened to Caleb Williams is him going to Notre Dame up in that kind of weather and having a bad performance because Chicago, bad weather, windy, snow, and, you know, he goes up there and, you know, and pulls a stinker against Notre Dame. It doesn't look good. So, yeah, we wonder about the kid, but I do have to give Chicago credit. They have spent money to make the team better. Obviously, they're bringing him in. They traded Justin Fields. They couldn't have made it more obvious. Now, if they choose somebody else other than Caleb, I'll be surprised. If it's they, wouldn't be shocked. But it's just, look, the narrative is Caleb Williams. You have to take him. I just don't think that Caleb Williams got that Eli Manning kind of pull to tell Chicago, well, if you take me, I ain't going to want to come here. Where are you going to go? You know,
was it Washington? He had Washington on his list.
You know that. I mean, well, he wants to get with his old offensive coordinator, but yeah, still, that's
he had
still
a list of teams.
You're still being ran by. You know, well, I mean, I guess Dan Quinn would be all right, but there's still a chance that Caleb Williams fails because he's probably gonna be drafted by a defensive coach. You know, people like Eberflus and offensive coordinator, they gotta figure that out. You know. All of them, the Patriots, the Commanders, all of them, you know, they still have to figure out these positions. So it's not set in stone that Caleb is just going to come in, plug and play, and be, you know, cool. He's going to struggle. But I do have to give Chicago credit for at least trying to spend money and build the offense up. Hell, they should have did it for Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, right.
And seeing what you had last year, you have a better idea. But it is what it is.
Right on, man. So, man, it's going to be interesting how things play out. Mason Knight, I think that's how you say it. He said Daniels over Williams. So, yeah, a lot of, when we put that poll up, a lot of people were saying, no, don't draft Williams, man. Speaking of that, I want to show this quick clip. Let me put this down. Tell me what y'all think.
Caleb won. Let's eliminate any discussion about Jaden maybe overtaking Caleb. I don't think that's happening. Jaden settles in two. Drake May, J.J. McCarthy is a battle. I think that's legitimate. I'm talking this morning to people before the show, and all I hear is J.J. McCarthy.
Wow.
J.J. McCarthy is so smart, so tough, athletic. He almost, because of what he was protected in doing, because they didn't let him carry the offense, has benefited from that because it adds some mystery to it. He's kind of old school quarterback. You know, he didn't have been throw it 40, 50 times. It wasn't on him just throwing all these bubble screens and all over the place. Bottom line is J.J. McCarthy could overtake Drake May. Could possibly. Yeah. Oh, it looks like Field. I am 12 to Denver. People look say, he's going to top 10. Somebody maybe Jim Harbaugh trades off of 5. You guys were talking about a trade Field, I know, with the Chargers, right? And others were talking about a trade, Jordan Reed. And maybe they do. Maybe Jim allows somebody to jump up and get his quarterback.
What?
All right, see, you're a Michigan guy, so you know more than us about JJ.
JJ is... JJ, Michigan has allowed me to implement something. They got the therapist on their sidelines when they're having, like, you know, points in the game where they're facing adversity. And that's when you see JJ on the field doing meditation. That's what JJ's known for. JJ's known for being calm, cool, collective, sitting over there with his legs crossed. As far as playing quarterback, I'm going to tell you what I saw. I saw him put the balls in one way, guys not picking it off. I've seen him, you know, he make a key throw here and there, but he ain't been playing quarterback like all the other quarterbacks. He's been protected by an amazing offensive line and an amazing run game. So he's playing the old style, the West Coast style of, you know, you throw every now and then. But far, you see what I'm talking about, how they talk these guys up this draft board?
Man, he put them in the top 10. He does. He moved them up.
If J.J. McCarthy is in the top 3, Michael Penix is in the top 3.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me that this kid, this is the problem I have. They set him up for failure. They set him up for their careers and be considered to be bust because they talk him up your draft board, but we hadn't seen production. We haven't seen him being used that way. If Jim Harbaugh move up and let, you know, decides he want to draft his quarterback out of college while having a quarterback, or you know, that'll be idiotic. He's on a roll for some dumb, very dumb stuff. But JJ McCarthy is not the reason why Michigan won a national championship. You know, Cam Newton had to say it. He's not a game changer. He's not. You know, if Brock Purdy's not the reason why the 49ers made the Super Bowl, JJ McCarthy is damn sure not the reason why Michigan won a national championship. It was defense, the run game, and great offensive line play. How is he in? I'm moving on. Somebody else take. How the hell is he three?
Tag me in, brother.
Get in there, brother.
Look, if this isn't cunt artistry in front of our eyes, I don't know what it is. Yeah. First and foremost, and this is no disrespect to JJ McCarthy, but for Mel Kiper, and I used to love Mel Kiper when I was younger. I had no problem with Mel Kiper. He's only going off what he's hearing.
Right.
Just the what did he say? Just the intrigue and the thought of not seeing him in the you answered your question. You didn't see him in do anything in the offenses. So what do you mean the thought and the intriguing thoughts of the possibility of he might can do this, he might can. All right. I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna be done. Jim Harbaugh had Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the same offense.
Yep.
Who was the man in the offense?
Andrew Luck.
My case closed.
Yep. And you see how unfair this is?
Yes.
You see how they can build a guy? This is how Mitch Trubisky got drafted.
Yep.
Right.
That is exactly who JJ McCarthy, he is Mitch Trubisky. Like, it's so unfair to Mitch Trubisky that everybody thought Mitch Trubisky, try saying it without messing it up, was a great quarterback when we hadn't seen enough. We don't know enough. You ain't seen, we hadn't seen enough, and it might work to his favor. Mel Kiper, that's one of the main reasons why you need to retire from your job.
And they said it then, though, when Trubisky, he only has 15 starts. That was the thing with him, and look how that panned out.
Yeah,
right. I just didn't see how them watching. I didn't watch a lot of Mitch Trubisky games, but I watched some tape, man. I watched some stuff, and I was just trying to figure out what they seen.
What do you see?
I didn't see anything that was spectacular.
Deshaun Watson in the same area code winning national championships, beating Nick Saban, almost beating Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And you take Mitchell Trubisky over him?
But watch this.
What riled you on the tape?
The Washington.
Like, I seriously want to ask a scout that. What riled you on the tape about Mitch Trubisky?
The Washington versus Michigan's national championship game. They were stuck in the third quarter, just stuck. Yep. It was a stalemate. You know, Michigan wasn't giving up the lead. Washington wouldn't take the lead. But that's a direct indication that without that run game, look, their touchdown came off long run. So without the run game, you got Cornelius. People get into the Senior Bowl or get into the combine and realize Cornelius Johnson is good.
Yes.
Norman Wilson is good. You know, Michigan got good players at skill position, but you didn't know it. Come on, dude. Come on, man.
How many times did they run the ball? Didn't they run the ball like 26 straight times to be pissed?
Yeah. Man, it was terrible.
Yep. Yes. Hard to watch. Yep.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
It was. All right.
I was like, man, it's too much.
Y'all heard me say things about Drake May, but I would never say McCarthy is a better quarterback than Drake May.
He's not better than Bo Nix. He's not better than Shador Sanders, and Shador is still in college. He ain't better than Cam Ward. Like, man.
All right, let's touch on this real quick. Derrick Henry said the Cowboys never called. Flowers. The Cowboys haven't been doing anything. We saw Van Der Esch retire a couple days ago. He's retired.
Wow.
And they let go of another guy, Michael Gallup. He's gone. If they go, see, this is why I was saying the whole time. Cedric Wilson before Michael Gallup got injured, was getting better than him. He was beating him in playing time. So why didn't you just keep Cedric Wilson, let go injured Michael Gallup, and that'll be the end of the story? But guess what Cedric Wilson is at now? He with New Orleans. We signed him 2 days ago, I believe. It blows my mind what they're doing in Jerry World. They kept an injured Michael Gallup and let go a guy who was beginning to come into his own in Cedric Wilson.
Who's gonna be running back?
Right.
Rico Dow? Like
yeah, Rico what's Dow, that short like, what's that Deuce Vaughn? Deuce Vaughn.
And then like Baltimore didn't give their he gave 2 years 16 mil. Man, Dallas, y'all couldn't afford to give him that. Like,
well, the issue Dallas have, man, I did my homework on them. They got to pay De'Ron Bland. They got to play CeeDee Lamb, Michael Parsons, and they Dak got him. He got him by the balls, literally.
Yeah.
That $59 million, they restructured it a little bit, but still, listen to the scenario we got with Dak. Dak goes into the final year of his contract. You can't franchise tag him after this year. You're going to have to give him a shitload of money if he go out and have a season he had last year. Then after you pay Dak, you got to turn around and pay CeeDee Lamb and Mike Parsons. So, yeah, they can't go out and spend no money. It's kind of like, you know, your wife talking you into buying an expensive-ass car while having one. And you get, you know, you got these high ass car notes and you having to pay. It looks good. You know, Cowboys got star in him. Everything looks good, but it's a very expensive star. I feel like me personally, man, looking at it from where I'm sitting, they're doing the right thing because, you know, they're going to try to get, they're going to draft another running back, probably bring Zeke back, get somebody really cheap to come play because they don't have the money. They don't have they had just paid Trayvon Diggs. Think about that. So,
yeah, that's why I wouldn't play Bland. Cause I don't feel like he's worth that money to another team, but not to me. In my
opinion, they're gonna have to trade somebody.
Yep.
Don't play Bland. Don't play him. Play
trade
Parsons.
Trade Dak Prescott. So you got Trey Lance right there, and it looks like you're trying to. It looks like you not rebuilding, but you. You know, you're trying to. You're gonna have to trade somebody. It's not gonna be CD and it's not gonna be Michael Parsons. It needs to be Dak before Dak walk away scot free. I trade Dak, see if the Commanders want him, and draft me a quarterback, or you know, see who wants Dak Prescott. But
not many.
You know, after this year, somebody wants it.
I don't think they'll. Depending on what they're asking for. I don't know who he's gonna command.
Well, the market's going to dictate for Dak, whether we like him or not. Dak has put the numbers up. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So somebody will.
He'll have a market. It's going to be small.
Yeah, somebody will trade him. Yeah, him small. Somebody will do it, though.
Somebody going to pay him a lot of money.
Things going, everybody getting, all the quarterbacks getting paid. So.
Yeah, Dak going to get paid. Like, all right. The Raiders still don't have a quarterback.
I thought you liked O'Donnell. You don't like O'Donnell now?
That ain't no telling your Pierce's guy. I mean, I think the Raiders might try to move up and get them a quarterback because, you know,
the Raiders fans love Aiden.
They're a quarterback away. They're a quarterback. They need a quarterback. Well, I don't know. I don't know what.
This is first year.
I'm kind of afraid that Pierce is going to, you know, it's kind of like the Parcells syndrome will come in and build it in my image. Man, just build it in the image of other things you've seen because you lost a damn good running back. And I know Zeus is a good running back. You know, Georgia got a bunch of running backs that come out of there. But, you know, Zamir White, he is not Josh Jacobs. But
I don't think they're going to miss a beat.
You don't think so?
I don't know, man. I watched a couple when Zamir White was playing. He did good, but it's not Josh Jacobs level, though.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
He did good, but it's not Josh Jacobs level, man.
Well,
there was like Davante Adams, man. He posted something on Twitter today. Everybody speculating things now that he might get traded. So I don't know what's going on.
Tell the Jets, if y'all want Davante, damn it, send me that first round pick. Y'all can help.
Who did the Jets pick up today? They picked up, I know they signed Tyra Smith and they signed a receiver or they traded for a receiver.
I forgot who the receiver is. If I were them, I'd draft a receiver. I mean,
or Mike Williams out there.
They ought to go get Bakhtiari from that's a free agent. He's familiar with Aaron Rodgers. Make a run at the Super Bowl, man. You know, get them aging veterans. You know, treat it like it's Madden or treat it like it's old 2K football. Just go out and free agent pool and just, you know, make a run for it. Because, I mean, being honest, this is going to be his last hurrah. That man ain't playing 2 years.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to Nick Saban. Let's hear what he has to say about college football.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, all they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this?
Well, this about to get good. Now the show about to take off right now. Now we about to take this thing up and out right now. You say,
Woo, that's a lot. That's a mouthful right there.
Oh, it's flowers. Ain't a mouthful.
It ain't a mouthful.
No, man, that's the last of a dying breed right there. That's the burying of the old way. Nick Saban is pretty much telling you, look, I don't want to do it the new way. The old way was working just fine for me. That's how I won. That was my system. That was my way of getting players to this and that and them making me successful. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban is only telling you, I'm not about to sit up here and have these youngins tell me how much money you got to pay me to come here. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban is beyond that. He feels like he's beyond that. And he is not about to dwindle in this shit of a show that they call college football nowadays. I respect it. I mean, I don't have nothing against what's going on. I mean, look, it's the NCAA's fault, first and foremost, of why things are the way they are now. Because all they had to do was allow for Johnny Manziel to sign the autographs and make the money. Mm-hmm. Terrell Pryor and company to, you know, sign memorabilia for tattoos. You know, Deion Sanders buying a cheeseburger for Dez Bryant, $20. Y'all want to suspend them for the whole damn year. See, this is the NCAA's fault because they wanted to, for so long, control athletes far as money-wise. They wanted to take all the money. They wanted to put the kids' name on the back of their jerseys. You know, give them four-year scholarships, which really wasn't four-year scholarships. They had to renew these scholarships each year. A new coach comes in. You have a chance to lose your scholarship. I can go on and on. But now, it's all about money, man. Like I say, it's the NCAA's fault. But man, I can go so many ways with this. I'm going to let RC tag in.
Go ahead, RC.
Total bullshit. There's this bull coming out of it's bullshit from a bull's mouth. Because what we had was, it's kind of like social media exposes everything. Like, you can't hide anything. Whatever we was hiding in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, what was being hidden, now it's all out in the open. That's all it is. He's sitting up there in the blue suit, look like he's selling car insurance, looking like a total snitch. He might well go to Atlanta and be at the court case with Young Thug and sit up there and tell on Young Thug too. Because all he's doing is saying, hey, man, they done caught up to me. What we used to do in the dark, now they doing in the light. Like, we know about Marcus Dupree. We know about Barry Sanders' mom getting out. We know about all these people who are getting paid. Why are you feel some way, dude? Because I have this saying, I have more respect for the Frank Beamers who built it from scratch than a Nick Saban. Because you can't win with 2 and 3 stars. You got to have the 5, the best of the best. Dude, 1 year, you winning, you got everybody on your team. So my thing is, I don't understand his stance and acting like he's the caretaker of all kids. Like, he has the best interest of everybody's child. They come over my house to eat, and my wife is just so shocked. So Alabama ain't never gave nobody no money, Nick. And we know you did, because we know for a fact that my guy down there, Jimbo Fisher, was ready to tell all.
So no one.
Jimbo, after you came for Jimbo, Jimbo had put his gloves on. I don't know who called Jimbo on your behalf and say, hey, man, chill out. We're going to run you some change. But you can't get up here and act like it's just, it goes against everything that we believe in. Dude, you're not building these teams from scratches. And you got them guys from Alabama like Trent Richardson, Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, tight lip. They don't even talk about what they got. And you know they got some. Ain't nobody going to college football. I remember being a young guy, I'm a close, where I was seeing Adarius Thomas, who was at Southern Miss, pull up in a Lexus car.
Yeah.
Like in college. Like, come on, bro. He ain't getting it on pale. We think we stupid. But my issue is giving these guys the death penalties back in the day, Flowers, and putting these guys on probation while knowing if it's Notre Dame, do you know what you got to have to get in the University of Notre Dame and do?
Yes, sir.
But you got brothers coming from the hood at Notre Dame with Jesus over the state. Don't get me started on that bull.
All right, man. Big country.
I think there's a little bit of truth in that statement, though.
What statement?
In his statement.
Who?
About paying players now. So it's a whole different.
Stop.
Stop. No, it's not. I know they've been doing it, but
it's open. Wait. Listen to me. It's a fair playing field because you want to know what? Nick Saban had his hand on college football neck for the past 15, 20 damn years because he was winning. And with him winning, he could say, y'all come here. And they got boosters galore paying people out the ass. Nobody could compete with that.
I think you're missing.
Nobody.
It's in the middle. I think you're missing what he was pointing at too, though. Y'all missed this little nugget. He's saying that when players care more about getting paid than actual playing,
stop right there.
But coaches pay care more about
you gotta think that Ben, too, as a coach.
Ben,
if you pay,
I'm gonna cut you off, but listen to me. A lot of them players only went to Alabama because of the winning culture. If somebody else was putting as many NFL players in the league as Alabama is putting in, they've been going there too.
So,
but you can't sit up here and say these players were going to Bama and they weren't getting paid.
That's not the point I'm trying to.
It is the point.
You think Tua, Mama and them left one of the most expensive areas of the country of the world. Come to the United States, come to Alabama, Tuscaloosa, by way of help. Moana left beautiful water to come to Tuscaloosa. Ain't shit in Alabama that's comparable to Hawaii.
Brother, come over here,
your mom and them get a job. Everybody's straight.
Yeah.
You think they was able to do that, was able to afford that?
Just magical.
I think, we get they pay the players, but I think the point that y'all looking at on the other side is a young player that you're paying millions now. It's a different way you got to come at these guys, different way you got to coach these guys. You can't coach them the same. You don't have a regular guy that you pay on the table. If he say something like, all right, your scholarship gone, you kind of have a little bit of control because you like, you can
Ben,
get some money.
That's not even the point. That's not the point.
Especially with you were making $1 million and
listen to me. Just listen to me.
Transfer right now. Still make listen, more money.
That's not the point. It's too much of an even playing field. Nick Saban can't control the playing field no more.
Wait a minute.
Listen to me. I'm gonna let you talk. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna let you talk. Yes, you're right. When a player says, "Well, if you don't give me this, I can transfer."
Yeah,
I get what you're saying with that, but you gotta understand how Nick controlled college football because the greatest player out of each skill position, whether it was the offensive line, defense, they went to Alabama. Yeah. It's not that anymore.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Kirby Smart started taking the best players from Nick Saban. This started about 4 or 5 years ago. So the NIL didn't do nothing but help with Nick Saban's decision to retire.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah,
that's just the final straw.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying there's still truth in both ways you look at it.
I agree with that.
Coach players differently because they're making so much money. And now if you don't treat them a certain
way, everybody's not getting that money, though.
That's the point. Now your options are open, though.
That's the thing.
So what I'm saying, is it not if you had a couple of guys who are millionaires already up top and you try to coach them some way, who's to say they like, I'm not going to jump ship because I don't like how you're talking to me.
So
I don't like how you're trying to coach me.
Well, Ben is saying, Flowers, and I agree with you because Deion brought this up when he was at Jackson State, said, NCAA, you got a problem. Because if my left tackle is getting pale and my quarterback is making $3.5 million, like, you can't control the emotions of young people, let alone grown people, let alone young people. Somebody going to feel some way. It's not a coincidence that Shedeur was on his ass all year at Colorado. You got to have a pay scale. Okay, now that it's evolved to that, the issue. But what he's saying, what Flowers saying, Alabama didn't have that problem.
He didn't control.
Right, because they've been doing it. Everybody else is doing that.
But now it's harder. He don't want to deal with the difficulty of trying to control the money flow. Right. Got players now say, if you
not only that, he don't want to deal with Texas coming into this, the SEC.
Right,
with Texas Tech, they got all money.
All these people coming in.
They got all money.
But as coaches seeing now, it's harder to coach certain players now because now they're like, hey, we getting $5 million. Just like that kid who bought that Lamborghini.
The only reason I'm disagreeing with you, Ben, is because of the resources. Because that same player that don't want to – Saban wanted to coach, all I'm saying is that player
that's
just
deal with that.
About saying, I'm a transfer, they can go get that same player from the transfer portal. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying he don't want to deal with that negotiating and trying to coach certain players anymore.
Don't have to because, fine, go ahead. I agree somebody else in. That's what I'm saying. That's the kind
of what I say. It's both truths to that side. It's like truth.
Listen, when you get NCAA 25 on PlayStation 5, you got those 5-star school, 4-star school, 3-star. What I'm saying is the prestige of Alabama would still allow Nick Saban to have his pick of the litter as long as they paying.
Mm-hmm. But he did make a statement before he retired too. He said that the way they handled the game too when Alabama lost. Like they were like happy and playing around, like he said that
because they don't care. They pay.
Yeah, you don't care. Yeah, they get paid. That's what I'm trying to point at that.
They're young.
It's harder to coach millionaires. It's harder to coach NFL millionaires, let alone kid millionaires.
The issue with college football is they should have been did this years ago.
Right.
So it would have been more because they're professional athletes. These are not kids, Ben. A lot of these guys, Penix Jr., they're 22, 23, 24. Yep. They got children, they got family members. This is not high school sports, this is college sports. And so, my issue with it is gone are the days. This is what Nick Saban's problem.
Yep.
Gone are the days where I can control the mind, which control the body. Mm-hmm. So I can't put fear in this kid no more. I can't manipulate this kid and tell this kid, well, you know, I can't steal players from LSU knowing I'm not going to play them at Alabama. Michigan won a national championship with only 2 5-stars on their roster. Okay? But what they did have in their favor outside developing those players, Michigan is one of those schools with money. They rich. Yeah. Rich. So they were getting good players, but they had better facilities and better equipment and better resources. And so therefore, and then you're one of those Jordan schools where these kids are getting Jordans as just school, shoes to wear around.
Shorts.
So man, my fear is Coastal Carolina, James Madison, the University of Southern Miss, or UL Lafayette, you'll never be able to truly compete for a national championship. We won't see any parity like that. Because they don't have the resources to compete with Ohio State and Penn State, them true bloods, them blue bloods. And now they're going to, like, Ohio State spent $13 million and not going to win nothing because you can't buy a championship. You can't buy chemistry. It's not going to automatically work. So that's another thing. You're going to see teams trying to buy championships and it's not going to work. It ain't going to work.
All right, let's move on to overtime. Hold on, let me make sure I didn't skip anything real quick. So the NFL draft is next month. I know a lot of people are gearing up for that. All right, let's go to overtime. All right, RC had a topic he wanted to discuss. He shared it with me in the text. So, break it down. Where do you see this topic?
Oh, so you want me to break down where I seen the topic? So,
Give us more clarity about it.
It was actually Uncle Ocho talking about Michael B. Jordan's situation, talking about his career path. You know, Michael B. Jordan is a great actor who does, you know, the movie Creed, Wakanda, Black Panther, a number of movies has he been in, and he's talking about how his career, he's lonely, you know, he's dated, but he's prioritizing his career has made him a lonely man. So he's trying to find that happy medium where he can find, you know, true love. But reason why I wanted to talk about it, because we're men and, you know, we're all career oriented and knowing that we got to provide, you know, if our wives probably want us to be up on them all the time. But you gotta go out and you gotta make money. You gotta go out and provide. But those guys on those levels, they see a bunch of women all the time. But, you know, I feel like in his situation, you know, for me, I feel like it's kind of a poor excuse. You know, I don't feel sorry for him because you get the pick of the litter. Like, you know, that may be the reason why the Lori Harvey situation didn't work out, because you prioritizing money and fame and fortune and success over being happy. Money can't replace loneliness, and it can't put the woman of woman you love in your life. You can't just purchase that. So, yeah, that's why I want to talk about it and have it as an off topic and hear what y'all are thinking on it about.
Do you think that's why athletes make the decision they make when they choose these women?
Athletes is dumb. I'm be real with you. Like, athletes, I'm starting to, you know, the Trayvon Diggs getting George Hayes pregnant, and knowing she had two baby daddies who were rich, and you just jump and throw your head in there. These guys don't think out. It's not like you don't know the woman and her background. It's not about her having a baby daddy. It's about you possibly, she didn't work out with the other two guys and they're taking care of the situation. Now you just throw your head in the ring. And it's like, this is a woman that was dating P. Diddy and dating all these different celebrities. There's a pattern there. And they act like there's no other women on earth. It's like, it's this same little small cycle group of people, women who they're all just passing around, and it just don't make sense. And it's all because these women are over-sexual. I would say the word is over-sexualized. I don't know if that's a word. Maybe I just made it up.
Yeah, that is.
Everything is, if you go follow George Chavis, Bow Wow, the Future's baby mama, she's always got her ass tooted in the air. She's beautiful. She's bad. But that's what get Trayvon did. That's why he can't catch no damn picks. And, you know, that's why he struggling, because they thinking about sex. They ain't thinking about longevity and happiness and being with someone in the right manner.
That's maybe why Michael B. Jordan feel that way, because it's hard to come across a woman that's, you know, have her own career, that's stable, that's doing other things and trying to, you know, match her energy. Instead of these athletes, they go out and just recycle the farm. And we think millionaires have all the pickings in the world, but I bet it's slim pickings, because they got to figure out
why
this person like them, like why this person want to be. I think it's a lot of that money make people
money gets in the way. That's
You gotta figure out if she truly loves you for it.
But we have to figure that out.
Yeah, we gotta figure out money.
What my wife trying to sport for me? Nothing.
but it ain't even gotta be about your money. But still, sometimes a person can view you as help more than a husband. Sometimes a person can view you as, because when a woman gets married, she benefits more than a man do, because her life changes. Like her dad hands her to you. Yeah. You know, you become like, if something break in your house right now, who finna fix on it?
Me.
Okay, yeah. So watch this. Turn the table. If something break in the house, you're not like, my wife gonna fix it, because your manly instincts kick in, like, I'm gonna fix this. So we bear the responsibility. I think money makes it a little bit harder for them, but it could make it a little easy if they, when they date, what are you dating? Who are you? Exactly. What are you going after? If you're going after the woman, everybody, she got a gazillion followers, and you're looking at all her pictures, and she's always okay. Mm-mm. But there's women that's out there that's not doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand. Jordan Kyle, he come with he meet directors, he meet doctors, he meet people from all different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Athletes meet community, what you call them people? Community fun activists. Yeah, activists. Like you meet athletes meet all types of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, influencers and all that.
Yeah.
What influencers?
Influencers.
Oh, like community people that help out in community, like teachers, like all that type of stuff. Activists. You know,
they too busy looking at a damn Instagram influencer.
Right. So that's what I understand as an athlete. Like
So listen, you know, dude. I was just talking to my daughter about this yesterday. The one thing that the women are—they devalue themselves by being so accessible, and you can see everything. And something you click on there, you can see everything, and you leave nothing to the imagination. And you want to be desired. You don't want to be loved. You want to be desired. That's the biggest mistake you can make as a woman dealing with a man, where a man just wants you for sex. Because after the swelling go down, you become normal, just like everybody else he's been with. It's over. Mentally, it's not the same. And so, therefore, the issue with these athletes, these guys, like we talked about in the last show, these guys have had these fantasies about these. We all been kids once. So let's take it back a little bit. I don't know who y'all like when y'all was growing up. But when I was a kid, Sanaa Lathan, Nia Long, the girl off the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the younger girl that was Will's sister. I can't believe remember her name. Saved by the Bell had a girl, the Voorhees girl. I can go on and on, man. Like, it was women like that you was like, if I was rich or if I was on her level, I would try to talk to her. But, okay, fast forward, you actually get the money. Let's say you got rich and neither one of y'all was married and you was rich and you could just, you know who you are, you know, but you're going to make some mistakes because now you can do whatever you want. But these guys, to me, seem like they just be trying to live out their fantasies, and it's pricey. It's costing a whole hell of a lot of money. And
that's why I need to know who's in that ear, who they surround themselves with, because that's a financial problem that's going to hit you over the years, and you might end up broke like most of the athletes do. So what kind of decisions are y'all making with y'all money, you know, that going to cost you in the long run? Well, it just blows my mind.
For you.
What you say?
I said, for a lot of these kids, that stiff piece RC talking about make that decision for them.
Yeah.
Right. That's crazy, man.
But
that's
crazy.
That's why said they don't have social media. It was some NBA player.
Look at Michael Jordan.
He'll have Instagram.
Prime example. Look at Michael Jordan's son. He's Michael Jordan's son. Jeff Marcus and Jeffrey. You don't hear about Jeffrey, but Marcus. And he's messing with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, future ex-girlfriend, and so on and so on. Like, you can't find nobody else, dude. But see, here's the one thing nobody talks about is you can't help who you're compatible to. Maybe we looking at them and we downgrading the women and saying, because I believe whatever in you, you attracted to you. And sometimes maybe they own the same shit. We just looking at the woman like, okay, you know, George Chambers, like, but maybe he's into the same stuff she's into, and it's easy for them to communicate and deal versus these women that, like a lot of these women who we see out there that we don't know about, maybe they're not into doing all the stuff that these other women see.
I get what you're saying, see, but
the experienced women.
You're right in the sense of Hollywood, whether it's Hollywood, sports, everybody's messing with the same people, and it's just not a good look for
like a small town.
It's not a good look.
Right. It is like a small town. That's why I say it has to be like a fraternity or some type of club everybody just meets up.
But listen,
it gotta be like a club, man. It's no way.
This is what I don't like. I'm gonna tell you who's the corniest guy on social media, and I hope this reaches you. Old proper ass talking Gilbert Arenas. What him and Shaggy P did when they was talking about Dre Michelle in the back, you know, she's got pregnant for Jalen Green, and you know, we talked about what we talked about, but I'm not gonna call. She's not. I ain't saying she's a whore more than the other person is a whore.
Right.
I mean, Jalen Green could be just as much as whore as she is. But to bring up what, you know, I hate that guy that's like, oh, you know, this guy gets her pregnant. This guy gets, well, you know, I had her in 87, or I had her in 2005. I had her first.
Right, like it's a, like it's some type of mail.
Listen, dude, I'm gonna tell y'all something, man. I've never been that guy sitting up bragging about anything I've done in my life.
I'm
like
telling
that.
You.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing to be proud about or be ashamed of. I just ain't. I'm not that dude. I don't. No woman can say I set up and just that man don't do nothing but talk about me to people. No. Even to this day, I believe in what you had with that person. That's it.
Obviously.
But somebody got to do that is a corn ball, corn dog. I heard in the backseat of the car. Like, dude, you sound stupid. You sound very.
Is he in high school? He really said that?
Yes, yeah, sir. Shaggy P was you're talking about Gibbering was going with Dre Michelle in the back of a car. And I just thought it was really...
That's poor taste, man.
Hey, let's burst Gil bubble real fast. I ain't want to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up since you just brought that up. You hear what he did the other day, right?
What's that?
About the comments he made about Saucy Santana.
Mm-mm. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, okay, go look for it. And just to make a long story short, people think Gil is gay.
Probably is.
Let me summarize it up for you. Excuse my language to the people that's watching. I won't make it vulgar. But Gil Arenas pretty much made comments about Saucy Santana is a gay man. All right.
Oh.
And he pretty much compared Saucy Santana's figure to Meg the Stallion's.
Wow.
So yeah, that's where I'm gonna go with that. But go look at the video, and you probably be questioning Gil's sexuality. I don't think he can bounce back from it. You know, he can sit up there and say, "I was just joking." No, you don't joke. Oh, like
joke.
That.
Who joke like that?
Those men who criticize women, those men who make fun of gay people, gay men, those men, they got a story to tell, right? And so, because I feel like once you become secure in yourself, see, when I was growing up a kid, my thing is, I grew up in the era we was frowned, a lot of stuff was frowned upon. It was like, duh. But now it's like, how do it directly affect me? Like, I know who I am, you know. If you won't see me like Shannon Sharp sitting at the restaurant eating anything, and then the gay man's, it's just some no-nos. But I remember when I first started like getting into dressing, When I went to go purchase a suit, a gay man was in there. He helped me find the best suit I've ever had in my life. But coming home with me and trying to keep my number and then hang out on. See, those dudes like Gilbert Arenas, yeah, it's something more to that story. Mm-hmm. And so his mouth is getting him in trouble. That's why doing stuff like this is fun. Mess around and say the wrong thing.
Right.
Now you the same thing made you laugh about to make you cry.
Yep.
These athletes gonna learn, man. Hey, did y'all see LeBron and JJ Redick gonna have a podcast now?
Really?
Yes.
That's another thing, man. Lead the podcast into regular people. Lead the podcast into retired players. Lead the podcast because everybody got a podcast while they playing.
You know, LeBron got something to say.
I'd rather LeBron just go on other people's podcasts and give interviews, not have one. If that makes sense.
Yeah, what was the one he used to go on HBO?
Like, I'd rather hear LeBron on Knuckleheads podcast. I'd rather him go to those kind and talk instead of him having a podcast. I don't really have a problem with Paul George's podcast, but I just think LeBron James just needs to go spread them.
Can I say this, though?
Mm-hmm.
Athletes having podcasts while being active, while still playing, it's the dumbest shit ever. Like, dude, it's like you want to do that. This market should be available. Like, y'all want to do everything.
Want to take everything.
Like, y'all got that much time on your hands.
Because you ain't playing all the games. You ain't playing all the games. You're not working on your game. You're not invested, fully invested. To me, I feel like anytime Draymond can get out of a game and go sit down and talk on the podcast, like Charles Barkley was going home to be with his family out the way, quiet, chilling, just. Because they really hooped that night.
Yeah.
like these dudes, man, sitting out for 30 games, but they podcast is act like listening to Michael Parsons talk to CeeDee Lamb while he eating CeeDee Lamb eating some food while he's.
Yo, Josh Hart, did Josh Hart stop his podcast? Cause he was like, I was like, y'all got to give it up.
Podcasts,
everybody like want to be a star.
Like
everybody got one. You got that right. All right, man, it's been a good show. We got a little promos. We are brought to you by Bet Us. We got your game. Place your bets through Bet Us. We have March Madness coming up. We have MLB coming up soon. Hockey, NBA. So place your bet through Bet Us. Since Mississippi took underdog away from us, we got to make money some way, somehow, on the side.
Right ever since.
I know, man.
Yeah,
it don't feel the same. It don't feel the same. And if y'all are new to the show, like and subscribe. Turn on the notifications. So you know when we go live, you know, we sometimes we miss up the days, but so y'all have to follow us on IG to keep up to date where we go live on shows. And we are brought to you by Lock Talk also. It's a sports bear community where you talk about your sports bets, try to figure out what's going to hit, what's not going to hit. So it's a good way to compare notes and try to win money together. So that's it, guys. It's been a fun show. We will not be back Friday. I'm going out of town.
Nothing wrong with that.
So we won't be back Friday. We'll be back on another show tomorrow. Randy Coure from the What's Up, the Sports Podcast, asked us to come on and do a show with him. So y'all tune over to his show on YouTube and watch us there. And if we don't scream again this week, we'll see y'all next Monday on Voice of the Fan Sportscast. Same channel, same time. Guys, same anything plan. Else I want to say before we get out of here?
Y'all be safe, man. Enjoy your week. And don't forget to let your sinks drip tonight, man. Faucet drip tonight. Yes. We're freezing here in Mississippi tonight.
Yes, sir. Y'all stay safe out there. We are out of here.
Peace and love, man. Peace. Oh,